व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरा जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अश्वपुरुष शिष्य मश्ल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौर ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Past Tense of Lord Ramchandra. Verse from 4 to 7 doesn't have any purpose, so we'll just read and then recite together. Text 8. Text 4. Guvarthe Tyakta Rajyo Vyacharana Dunavanam Padma Padma Bhyam Priyayaha पाणिस्पर्शाक्षमाभ्याम ऋजपथरुजो यो हरिंद्रानुजभ्याम वैरूप्याच्छुरुनख्यः प्रिय विरहरुषा लोपितभ्रु विजृंभ त्रस्ताब्धिर्बद्धसेतु खलदवदहन कोसलेन्द्रोवतान्नः टू कीप द प्रॉमिस ऑफ हिज फादर इंटैक्ट लॉर्ड रामचंद्र इमीडिएटली गेव अप द पोजिशन ऑफ किंग and accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to peer even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Surupanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravan to kill him, like a fire devouring the forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramchandra, give us all protection. Text 5. Vishwamitre thareye na marichadyanishacharaha pashyato lakshmanasseva hata nerat pungavaha. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons, in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. Text 6-7. Yo lok vira samitau dhanuresh mugram sita swayamvara grihe trishatopanitam adaya bala gajalila evikshvishtim sanjiye kritam nipavikrishya babhanja madhye jitvan rupa gunashil vayonga rupam sita vidham shiryamurasya vilabdhamanam marge vrajan bhrugupate vyanatam prarudham darpam mahim krita yastri raj vijam. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramchandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met Parshuram. Although Parshuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a kshatriya of the royal order. Text 8. Please repeat after me.
Yaha satyapasha parivita pitur nirdesham. Strayanasya chapi shirasa chagrahe sabharjaha. Rajam Shriyam Prayaniha Suhrido Nivasam. Yatva Yayo Vanamusin Iva Mukta Sangha. Yaha Satya Pasha Parivita Pitur Nidesham. Strayanasya chapi shirasa chikrihe sabharyaha. Rajyam shriyam prayaniha suhrido nivasam. Yatvayayo vanamasun iva mukta sangaha. Yaha satya pasha parivita pitur nidesham. Strayanasya chapi shirasa chigrihe sabharyaha. Rajyam shriyam prayinaha suhrido nivasam. Yatva yayo vanam asuniva mukta sangaha. Yaha satya pasha parivita pitur nidesham. Strayanasya chapi shirasa jigdhe sabharyaha. Thank you. यह सत्य पाश परिवीतु निदेशम्। त्रैणस्य चापि शिरसा जग्रहे सभार्यः। राज्यं श्रियं त्रयिणः सुहृदो निवासम्। त्यक्त्वा वययो वनवसुमिव मुक्तसङ्गः। यः सत्यपाश परिवीत पितो निदेशम्। त्रैणस्य चापि शिरसा च गृहे स भार्यः। राज्यं श्रियं प्रैणः सुहृदो निवास। त्यक्त्वा ययो वनमसमिवम्
whatever transition is to be. Yaha, Lord Ramchandra, who? Satya Pash Parivita Pituhu. Of his father, who was bound by the promise to his wife. Nidesham, the order. Stranasya, of the father, who was very much attached to his wife. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Shirasa, on his head. Jagrahe, accepted. Sabharyaha, with his wife. Rajyam, the kingdom. Shriyam, opulence. Pranayinaha, relatives. Suhridaha, friends. Nivasam, residence. Tyaktva, giving up. Yayau, went. Vanam, to the forest. Asun, life. Iva, like. Muktasangaha, a liberated soul. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life, and went to the forest with Sita. Purport. Maharaj Dashrath had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi therefore said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramchandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son Bharat and send Ramchandra to the forest. Maharaj Dashrath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramchandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhishya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare just before beginning, I was thinking, of course, right now we are reading about this pastime of Lord Ramchandra crossing the ocean and defeating Ravan. And that pastime happened at Rameshwaram. Right now, more than 4,000 devotees are sitting right there at the spot and discussing the same pastimes. And by the mercy of the Lord, we are sitting here and discussing the same pastimes. So just while reading the translation of text 6 and 7, where it is said that Lord carried the bow, like lifted and broke the bow, which generally 300 people used to carry. It was so heavy. Well, I just reminded of one story my grandmother used to tell about why Janak Maharaj actually kept this condition that if someone can carry and, you know, break this bow, then only he can marry Mother Sita. I don't know whether it is written anywhere in scriptures, but conveys very beautiful point. Because Mother Sita was given when she was child, she was given the service of cleaning the temple where this bow was kept. So every day she used to clean the temple of Lord Shiva, or Lord Shiva, where this bow of Lord Shiva was kept. So one day Janak Maharaj, when he came to the temple, he saw that Mother Sita was cleaning. She was a little child, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6. Because by the age of 7 and 8, she was married. So he saw that, because bow was quite heavy, you know. So Mother Sita, just to clean the place below the bow, she lifted with her left hand and cleaned and kept the bow back. So he was amazed, you know, that he understood that this girl is not ordinary, she is extraordinary. And therefore she must be married to a person who is of equal nature and equal qualities. So therefore he kept this condition that anyone who will at least lift this bow, then he'll be married. So Ramayana is actually, I was thinking of, it's full of dynamic relationships, you know. In Ramayana we find, we can learn how to develop relationships. That is Ramayana. From the beginning till the end, you know, relationships. People go through so much of ups and downs in their life regarding relationships. Very, very tough, very, very difficult thing to deal with people, you know. You can deal with machines, you know, day in and day out for life together. But dealing with people is really difficult. And what Lord Ram and Mother Sita, they went through in their life is really amazing. Of course, I don't have that much realization, but like it's amazing to see that how we can learn so many things from Lord Ram and Mother Sita. Just as it is explained in this verse, when Lord Ram's career was about to begin, you can say, you know, he was, as Shiva Vilaspur was mentioning yesterday, he was 24 years old, Lord Ram, when he was about to be coronated as king. He was only 24 years old, and next day he was about to be coronated as king. And suddenly the news comes that you have to go to the forest. Just imagine, you know. Very easy to read and just, you know, appreciate, like, say, oh, he was so great. But if you really take into in our life, you know, suppose we are going to get something very big, and then suddenly we are asked to give it up. So difficult. And he very, you know, very, very casually, and he said, okay, I'll go. He's detached. This is a sign of detachment, renunciation. Because he knew that anyway, one day this kingdom is going to go. No one can stay in this material world forever. Mother Kaikeyi was thinking that, oh, my son will become king, and you know, eternally I'll be happy. No, there is no eternity in this material world. Everything is very, very temporary, flickery. Now there is no more kingdom of Lord Ram now. Where is Ayodhya? Where is Ayodhya? Where is Kaikeyi? Where is Bharat? No one is there. So Lord Ram knew that this material world is very, very temporary. So one, I should not take it seriously. So he accepted the order of of his father and gave up his entire kingdom. He could have made a big issue out of it. That, oh, as Prabhupada says, that he was attached to his wife, Dashrath Maharaj. So he could have told his father that, oh, you are attached to your wife, so why should I suffer? Like, and it's justified also if someone says like this, that I am going to become king, you are attached to your wife, so you gave two boons to your wife, so you suffer, why should I suffer? But he was, you know, he was a committed person. He has the quality of commitment. And that is the most important quality required in any relationship. Commitment to the relationship. Nowadays, we enter into any relationship very easily. Very, very easy to enter into any relationship. Whether it's husband, wife, or, you know, begetting children, or making friends, or whatever. But understanding the responsibility which comes with that relationship is very, very difficult. What to speak of following that, you know, taking care of that responsibility. First of all, we don't even recognize the responsibility. Nowadays, divorce is very, very common. You know, people get married and within, sometimes, you know, few months before I read an article in newspaper that shortest marriage happened in Bombay. After 4 hours of marriage, the wife, you know, put an application for divorce. Just four hours, you know. So this is modern relationships. People get married, but they don't want children. So abortion and so many things are happening because there is no commitment. Previously, people used to get married and till end, only death would terminate their relationship. I remember my grandfather used to tell that when he was 1 year old and my grandmother was 6 months old, they were engaged. Can you imagine? And when he was 11 year old and my grandmother was 10 and a half years, they were married. Until the age of 84, they were together. So that is relationship. When you're committed, and commitment means that through thick or thin, I'll be there with you. Not that only when good times are there, I'll be there. Lord Ram didn't say, oh, 24 years you took nice care of father, you know, very nice, thank you very much, but I'm not going to follow now. No, he followed. So through thick and thin, that is a commitment. So as a part of his relationship, he was ready to suffer the losses also. Not that I'll take only profits, no loss. So that was the character of Lord Ramchandra. He was a committed son in every respect, perfect son. He was a perfect husband, a committed husband. Can you imagine, he could have thought, you know, okay, someone kidnapped my wife, so what can I do? Okay, I'll marry another wife, another girl. For him, there was no dearth of, you know, beautiful girls. He was Supreme Personality of Godhead. But just as a committed husband, he said, no, I have to protect my wife. Because out of 5 people which were supposed to be protected in Vedic civilization, one is women. Women should always be protected. So he protected her and fought amazing war, you know, amazing war, just to protect one woman. And then he was a perfect brother, committed king he was, and of course he was committed enemy also, like a warrior also, you can say. He was committed to kill Ravan. So this commitment is very, very important in our relationships. That we always remain together. In one of the purports in 7th canto, Prabhupada writes about Pandavas. That why Pandavas was so dear to Krishna. So there Prabhupada uses this phrase, you know, through thick and thin. And Prabhupada writes that Pandavas, they remained with Lord Krishna, they remained loyal to Lord Krishna through thick and thin. And Lord Krishna also reciprocated accordingly. So, another personality I remember of who was very, very committed to his relationships is Maharaj Yadu, King Yadu. Of course, our Nandulalpu, day before yesterday, he talked about Yadu very nicely, that how he was a perfect king and therefore Lord Krishna chose to appear in his dynasty. And what was his commitment? Amazing commitment. His father was Yayati. He was married to Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya. And some other thing happened that he begot son through a maid servant of Devayani, Sarmishtha, and Devayani became angry. He went to his father, she went to his father, and Shukracharya cursed Yayati to become old immediately. And then he became very fearful that, oh, I'm young and you gave me this curse. So then Shukracharya said, okay, if anyone is ready to give his youth to you and take your old age, then you can become young again. Who will do this? Suppose someone asks us, you know, that you know, please take my old age and let me take your young youth. So we'll never agree. So he went to his sons. So first he went to, first three of his sons, they denied immediately. They said, forget it, father. We are not going to take your old age and give our youth to you. So he became very disappointed. He went to the fourth son. I forgot his name. So, who? Puru. He was Puru. So Puru said, father, I don't mind giving my youth to you, but if I'll give my youth to you, then I won't be able to enjoy in this material world. And unless I enjoy, I cannot experience real detachment. So his reason was little valid, Prabhupada writes. But the fourth son, Yadu, he immediately agreed. He said, oh, this body is given to me by you, father. So if it is given to you, it is supposed to be used for your purpose. So what is the use of this body if it cannot serve you? So immediately he exchanged. And just imagine, you know, a young person, I don't know whether he was married or not. Just imagine, a young person is sitting here and immediately he becomes old. Imagine for ourselves. Immediate, all hairs became grey, wrinkles all around your body, no strength, weak mind, weak body. But that is commitment, you know. And he also knew, like Lord Ramchandra, he knew the temporariness of this material world, and therefore he could give up his kingdom immediately. So similarly, Yadu also knew the temporariness of this material world. He knew that if I don't give my youth to my father and follow the principle of true religion right now, anyway, my body is going to become old in one day. So why to sacrifice dharma, eternal dharma, for temporary things? So that is how great soul thinks, that I should never compromise with truth. And of course, later Yayati realized his mistake, and he got real detachment, and he again gave youth back to his son. But this was one of the reasons Lord Krishna chose to appear in Yadu dynasty. Because here is a king who is really committed to his father, to his family, and to his kingdom, to the subjects. And because of that commitment, from Yadu started a Yadu Vamsha. It is not that, like, he had his father had his father. So Vamsha was going on, you know, since long time. But because he exhibited such extraordinary quality of commitment, the name of Vamsha changed after him. That from today onward, the Vamsha will be known as Yadu Vamsha. And Lord Krishna, he decided to take birth in that dynasty. But nowadays, this principle of commitment and loyalty in relationship is slowly dwindling. we can see, you know, previously people used to take up a job with in some company or in some family, and they used to do that job till their death, you know. And then their son would serve the master, and then their son, you know, the dynasty of masters and dynasty of servants would go on like this. But right now, just for a few hundred rupees, few thousand rupees, you know, people keep on changing their jobs, isn't it? For small things. And they think, oh, it's so nice, you know, what's the problem in that? Here I am getting 50,000 rupees a month, and there I am getting 55,000 rupees a month, so why, you know, lose 5,000 rupees? But they don't understand the subtle point behind this, that right now, for small thing, they are changing their job. But the mentality behind is, okay, if I'll get better relationship, you know, a better wife or a better husband, I'll give up my old wife or husband. So that thing we are not able to see. So artificial lifestyle actually leads to shallow relationships. Nowadays relationship means, you know, just what I'm getting out of it. If I'm, you know, getting something out of this relationship, okay, it's welcome. Relationship is welcome. Otherwise, no relationship. So there is no concept of service in relationship. Previously, relationship would mean that I have to serve this person. Husband would serve wife, wife would serve husband. Parents would serve children, and children would serve parents. Everyone would serve each other, even in common relationships. Right now, people don't know even the concept of loving others or serving others in relationships. Just how much enjoyment I'm getting. Therefore, yesterday our Siksha Ashtanga Guru was sharing that in Bombay, nowadays when before marriage takes place, you know, girl's father asks the husband, you know, to be husband, that how many times you'll take my daughter to the restaurants a week? How many times you'll take her to picnic? And that is a major criteria for the marriage. So these artificial things are considered as a sign of love. But there is no commitment. People don't... commitment is shown by the principle of sacrifice. How much I am sacrificing for this person? How am I extending myself for this person? When we extend ourselves for others' pleasure, that is a sign of love and commitment. So, here we see Lord Ramchandra. He sacrificed his entire kingdom. And Shukdev Goswami, he gives such a wonderful analogy. Of course, I like this previous analogy also, which is given in text 6 to 7, that he says Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are very, very wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. So, I don't know, I never seen baby elephant, and pastimes of baby elephant, but like looks beautiful. And here he gives the analogy of he left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. For a yogi, it is said that marova jivova, for a saintly personality, either live or die, doesn't matter, because he's always focused in absolute truth. He always live in truth. So there is no material bondage for that person. So similarly, Lord Ram, for him, you know, it was just a matter. For us, you know, sometimes, you know, to give up one department, you know, becomes so difficult, you know. Let's suppose we are in a particular department serving for, you know, few years, and if we are asked, okay, now you serve in another department and let someone overtake. And sometimes it becomes so difficult, you know. Just imagine. We have to put ourselves, you know, in Lord Ram's situation. What will happen? We'll understand how little we are, how small we are actually, how it humbles us when we compare ourselves with Lord or great personalities. So Lord Ram, he immediately gave up everything, his personal comforts, his friends, his relatives, home, and he was not even wearing the clothes, like he was wearing tree bark. Such simple life, not eating anything cooked, just eating only roots and fruits, that's all, for 14 years. sleeping tactically on ground, walking barefoot throughout the jungles. So that is sacrifice. Just like Yadu also, he sacrificed his youth for his father. And I was just thinking, Yayati must be so grateful, you know, at that time, because he was not an ordinary person. We cannot say that he was a sense gratifier. Of course, like, he wanted to have some sense enjoyment also. But he must be so grateful to his son that, oh, he has done, he recognized his sacrifice, that, oh, he's such a great person that he gave his youth and took my old age. So, and just like, even Prabhupada disciples also, now when they come, so, what make them work so hard and, you know, just follow the order of Srila Prabhupada, propagate this Krishna consciousness movement? It is gratitude to Prabhupada. When they remember that Prabhupada has done so much of sacrifice for us, so much of sacrifice. Initially, it is for them, they couldn't see Prabhupada's sacrifice. They would come and they would just eat prasadam and go. But later, gradually when purification took place, they realize that, oh, Swamiji is doing so much for us. He is going to the market, purchasing vegetables, cutting them, cooking them, serving us, and then cleaning all the vessels, doing at the age of 70. So when they saw Prabhupada's sacrifice, then that sacrifice, then they became grateful to Prabhupada. And they were ready to do anything for Prabhupada. So that's how reciprocation takes place. I was talking to one devotee and he said that, oh, no one loves him. Like, he's a close friend to me. So I told him that, I told one of Prabhupada's pastime to him. When Sasru Maharaj, Prabhupada gave first initiation in 1966, Janmashtami. So Sasru Maharaj thought, oh, should I take initiation or shouldn't I take? So he was a little confused. So he said, okay, let me drop it. Next time I'll see. So he was a little confused that I don't know whether I love Swamiji or Swamiji love me. So why to enter into such a relationship unless I'm, you know, sure about it. So he didn't come for the initiation. And after 2-3 days, he came to see Prabhupada. And they talked. And when he was about to leave, Prabhupada stopped him. He said, if you love me, I love you. So that was, you know, a shock for Sasru Maharaj. That he said, probably Prabhupada read my mind, that I was thinking whether I love him or he loves me. And then he said that this is how relationship takes place. Prabhupada said, if you love me, then I love you. So first of all, therefore Rupa Goswami said, dadati pratigrahnati. First of all, you have to give. We cannot expect, though, oh, why are you not giving me? First you give me, then I'll give you. No, first we have to give, then the other person will give us. First we have to extend ourselves. So this is the principle behind developing relationships, that we have to extend ourselves, we have to show commitment in our relationships. And I was just remembering, you know, that like about previously it was there in every family. Right now, especially city like Bombay, we don't find such things. Maybe here and there, but not everywhere. I remember previously family bonds were very, very strong. Very, very strong family bonds. Why? Because everyone would serve each other very, very personally. Mother would cook for the entire family. I remember, like, I can say about my family, my mother would, we never ate anything from outside. Practically never ate anything. Everything she would cook. Even, you know, stitch our clothes, make our sweaters, caps in winter season, you know, woolen cap, socks and gloves, sweater. Till the age of 9th or 10th, I don't remember, like, purchasing anything from outside. Whatever she would make, and we would take it. So that was when we see that, oh, my parents are extending so much, you know, just to take care of me, then automatically gratitude comes. I remember once my brother, he was very, very small, at that, like, maybe 5-6 years old, and it was winter in Delhi. Delhi is quite quite cold, you know, not like Bombay. It's really cold. That too 30 years before, 33 years before. So once she made a woolen cap for him, you know, through with hands. And he went to the school, and when he came back, the cap was not there. So my mother asked, where is the cap? And he said, I lost it. So what to do? And at that time, there were no ready-made shops, you know. Okay, take 100 rupees and purchase another cap. No, nothing like that. And you cannot send your child without cap also next day. So till 2 o'clock in the morning, my mother was up, you know. And she made another cap, and in the morning, you know, she gave it to my brother. So that is commitment in relationships. That you do everything. You do everything. And for that, you have to extend yourself. We have to, sometimes we have to sacrifice our health. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our comforts. But gratitude comes. Nowadays, for everything, you know, people think, okay, I'm you know, taking care of my children so nicely. Whatever they need, I give them money. Certainly we give them money, but there is no love. I don't know if you can appreciate this or not. You know, wearing a sweater purchased from outside or wearing a sweater which is woven by your mother, you know, there is a lot of difference, You cannot explain it, how much difference it is. Like, purchasing food from outside and, you know, cooked by mother at home. So naturally, you feel love. Nowadays, you know, sometimes maid servants are kept just to take care of the children, you know, small children. You know, child is maybe 1 or 2 years old, mother is sitting somewhere else, and a maid servant is taking care of the child. So child get the same samskar, you know. When the parents become old, they say, oh, you have taken such nice care of us, you kept paid person to take care of us. Okay, we'll also keep some paid persons. It's like action and reaction. So if any need comes to the children, parents say, oh, take money. And don't bother us, just take money. You want video game, you want computer, whatever you want, just take money and, you know, don't bother us. So similarly, parents or children also, when they become old, they tell the same thing to the parents. Okay, you take money. Don't disturb us, you know. So same culture we are giving to the children. So the city life is really horrible, you know, especially if you are coming from, you know, a kind of town culture or, you know, village culture. It's really horrible. So the point here, we're discussing about the commitment in our relationships. So it needs a spirit of sacrifice that let me do something. And similarly, we are celebrating today Disciplinary Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was also a committed person in his all relationships. If you see, as a disciple, he was committed. He was committed to his spiritual master. We know the past time when Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he left his body, and all the Babas in Navdeep, they were claiming that, oh, you know, he belongs to us, because they wanted to make a samadhi and make money out of it. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a powerful disciple, he stopped everyone. It's a long pastime. So he was a committed disciple. He was a committed preacher also. We know how he was so powerful in his preaching. I was just reading a book by Bhaktivikas Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. So I think it is second volume or third volume. In the beginning, you know, what do you call? Forward or something? Small? Something. So he just write one statement of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which you know, which tells us how powerful preacher he was, uncompromising. And we call him Simha Guru, you know, because of that. He writes, if to carry out the command of the Vaishnava Guru, I have to be arrogant or brutish, or suffer eternal perdition, P-E-R-D-I-T-I-O-N, what is it called? Perdition. Hell, okay, hell. suffer eternal hell, I am prepared to welcome such eternal damnation and even sign a contract to that effect. I will not listen to the words of malicious persons in lieu of the command of Sri Gurudev. I will dissipate with indomitable courage and conviction the currents of thoughts of the rest of the world, relying on the strength derived from the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. I confess to this arrogance. So like that was his power, you know. So he used to say that preaching means fighting. Literally you have to fight. So, and we know like how he was uncompromising. Prabhupada tells it. His first meeting with his spiritual master. And he just offered obeisance with Narendra Babu. And immediately Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Why don't you preach in English language? You're an educated young man." And then a debate took place. And of course Prabhupada writes that he was happy to be defeated by his spiritual master. So he was a uncompromising preacher, uncompromising disciple, uncompromising guru also, you know. Not only in terms of correcting his disciples time to time. There are so many pastimes, you know. So many pastimes if you read that book by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. That how regularly he used to directly, indirectly correct his disciples. But another aspect of, although at one side he was such a powerful person, uncompromising, but on the other hand, within he was very, very soft person. Very, very soft and humble. Whoever used to come to meet him, he used to greet him by saying, "Dasosmi." And sometimes, of course, we also say "Dasosmi." But we rarely mean it. But he used to mean it. He would never allow anyone to touch his feet. Even the young children, he would never allow to touch his feet. And he said that his Guru Maharaj has given him instruction not to accept disciples. And he said that, I have not accepted any disciple. All of you are my gurus. Because seeing your sincere devotion, I am also developing a desire to serve Krishna. So that was his humility. That was his simplicity. Many times he used to go in the brahmachari ashram during night, and he would see if some brahmachari is, he's lying uncovered, you know, he would put blanket upon that person, or sometimes even put mosquito net for the brahmacharis. So that was his simplicity, that he was, you know, lying for the Mayavadis, for the atheists, for the Apasampradaya people. But he was such a, you know, soft like rose for the devotees. So that is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So of course there are so many things. I don't know much about him. So today we are fortunate to celebrate his disappearance day. I'll just read little bit from Prabhupada Lilamrit by Srila Chaturdas Goswami Maharaj about his passing away. Only three paragraphs. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta passed away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna, that's all." Amongst his last words to his disciples were, I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunathas Goswami. You should all work co-jointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree, and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. In his last days he had remained fully conscious and had given instructions until the end. He had specifically and openly ordered that affairs of Gaudimath be maintained by a 12-man governing body, which the devotees should select amongst themselves. Finally he said, "Please accept my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind that our sole duty and religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and of his devotees." At 5:30 a.m. on January 1st, he breathed his last. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki. Just before concluding, I was thinking that today we are celebrating the disappearance day of such a great acharya. Of course, there is another acharya whose appearance day is like the entire world is celebrating. Just speak, you know, 2 minutes about Lord Jesus. Today's Christmas. Just two of his instructions, you can say, or you know, he was also uncompromising person. You know, I'll just make two of his statements and then I'll end. He said, "If you love your mother and father more than me, you are not worthy of me." And then he said, "If you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me." He said that, "I have come to this material world not to be a peace messenger. I have come here to bring quarrel between son and father, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law." So, just few our obeisances to him also. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Tirubhava Mahamahotsav ki. Hare Krishna.